Welcome to Hoboken Grace again, and for those of you who don't know me, my name's Chris, and I'm the teaching pastor here, or at least I'm usually the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace. Today we have a really, really special day. For the last 84 weeks, which is about a year, a little over a year and a half, I have spoken every single week at Hoboken Grace. That ends today. That's what you should cheer about, right? And the last time that I did not speak at Hoboken Grace was the day that Caden was born, which I don't, for me seems like about 15 years ago. But today we have a really special treat. You guys know John Carlos really well. He's been doing what I did earlier with silence for several months now as he kind of gets comfortable being up here on the stage. And today as we move forward, he's going to walk us through the rest of our conversation. This is a huge part of what we do here at Hoboken Grace, because as you guys are a part of this community and this family with us, you'll see all the time that there are new faces on stage in new places and new positions, because we believe in multiplication. We believe in what we call apprenticeship, which is where we're taking what God has taught us, and this applies to every area of our life, spiritually, ministry, connection, in every area of our life, taking what God has given us, what God has taught us, and then passing that on to someone else, helping them to be able to do what we do. And I challenge you guys all the time to be doing this, to grab hold of someone and take them into dinner groups, to get them connected the way that you're connected, to grab hold of someone and bring them into your ministry team and to teach them how to set up chairs the way that you set up chairs, to teach them how to make coffee the way that you make coffee, or take care of kids the way that you take care of kids. We're always trying to multiply ourselves, and this is a huge part of what's going to be happening with Hoboken Grace as we move into January and look at how we're going to continue expanding our space so that we can find more people, so that we can do what God has called us to do, right? Help people find their way back to Him. And so today is another step on that journey, and John Carlos is going to be helping us kind of work through this conversation as we move forward. So would you guys stand and welcome John Carlos to the stage?
I wasn't sure if he was going to let me come up here. But I just want to repeat what he said earlier during silence, right? That this is our home, and we truly hope that you feel right at home this morning. And that is my starting point, right? That this is my home and that you're my family. I want to share today's message. And it has been my family for the past 3 years. So I'm super excited just to be here and to be able to kind of go on this journey together. And I couldn't be more excited that you're going to be with me on this journey. So before we get started, will you pray with me? God, we thank you this morning because everything we do for you, God. And this morning, I just want to surrender. I want to give you everything, God, and that all the glory, all the honor may be for you, God. There's nothing special that I can do, God, but through you, we can find hope. We can find love, and that's what we've come here, God, to worship you, to lift your name high. And I ask that our eyes, that our ears, everything be just focused on you, on what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, we kicked off our new series titled Loving the Holidays, where we're trying to answer these questions of how can we get past the things that tend to suck the life out of Christmas and get back to experiencing the joy that we used to have during Christmas. And we started by talking about the loneliness and the chaos that tends to dominate this time of the year, because we're moving so fast that we miss people. We have so little time that we don't get to connect with each other. And yet God's given us this family. He's given us this family that we can connect with. And it doesn't matter how alone you may feel, it doesn't matter how alone you might be feeling, we actually have each other to connect and to be together in this. And we talked about different ways that we can do that, right? We talked about connecting through dinner groups. We talked about calling each other and letting others know that, you know, we're feeling alone and we need someone there to be with us, because we're no longer part of a crowd, right? We're a community. We're family. We're here for each other. But you see, when we were talking about that, it's not just loneliness or the feeling of chaos in our lives that they can suck the life out of Christmas. No, no, no. Sometimes it's the people. It's the people that you're going to be surrounded by at Christmas. It's the people that you're going to go back home to, Aunt Betty or Uncle Bob, that just suck everything out of you. When you're at that table, they just, you know, you feel empty inside once you leave there. So when we were talking about that, some of you were like, you know what? I do want to be alone this Christmas. I actually want to be in a little corner, in a little box, all by myself, seeing no one, because those people just make it miserable for us. But yesterday, when I was coming here, and I'll give you an example of that, is I had planned to get a haircut before today, right? My hair was kind of crazy, and I was like, you know what? I need to look good tomorrow. You know, it's an important day for me. Some of you don't know, but sometimes I pick my outfit for Sunday a week in advance. Maybe I shouldn't have shared that. But I wanted to look good. So, you know, I went to one of the best places in Hoboken to get a haircut, Buzz Cuts. You know, real cheap, real good. And I walked in, and, you know, they're always saying, oh, you want to wait for someone. I was like, no, no, I'll just take the first person. Shouldn't have done that. So I sit down, you know, take my glasses off. So I can't see anything they're doing, but it's simple, right? It's two on the side, short on top. So she starts cutting my hair, and she's like, oh, your hair's so thick. Your hair's so thick. I'm like, okay. And then she's like, oh, your hair grows this way. It grows this way. I'm like, no, I was wearing a hat before I came, so that's why it's just flat. She's like, no, it grows this way. It grows this way. And I'm like, okay. Well, she's like, okay, we're all done. I put my glasses back on. I look in the mirror, and I'm like, really? Can you cut it a little bit over here? You know, it's a little too tall over here. She's like, no, your hair grows that way. It grows that way. And I'm like, fine, just cut it shorter. And she's like, no, your hair grows that way. Okay, I'm out of here. So for today, I have, you know, just this hair and all of this stuff going up on here. But the reason is that, and the point of all of this, is that that sucked everything out of me, right? I almost called Chris and was like, okay, I can't go tomorrow. My hair's ruined. And it's the people that we will encounter and that we're going to spend Christmas that can do that to us. But Christmas is a special time, right? It's a time that, like few others during the year, that we want to be more loved than we do at Christmas. It's a time to love, to be loved, to spend with those that we care for. I mean, even with our grumpy coworkers, for some reason they're a little nicer, and we say hello to them. So, you see, that doesn't always happen, right? The ideal I love you love me doesn't always happen. Because you walk in wanting to be loved and loving people, and you walk out empty with a huge void. And I don't know what that might be for you today. I don't know if it's a conflict, if you've grown apart with your family. I'm not sure what it might be. But the truth is that all of us have an inner desire to be loved and to love. Why is that? Because we love. Right? We love people and we give people love, so we expect that in return, right? It's like a give and take. We're always expecting that if we do something good, if I love you, you should love me back. But that doesn't always happen, right? So the cycle's broken of this give and take. I mean, if you give your wife a massage late at night for about an hour, you expect something, right? Coffee in the morning, right? Not sure if all of you got that. Now you're getting it. But you see, we can have hope this season that cycle can be broken. That cycle of giving and taking and expecting something in return for what we give can be broken. And today, let's read from Titus 3. And I chose this passage, actually, specifically because it doesn't have any of those weird names that I couldn't pronounce. So that left me with around 50% of the Bible to choose from. But I'm pretty sure that it has to do with what we're talking about today. So let's read. It says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. He broke that cycle. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. You see, he loved us when we didn't love. He loved us when our parent or our father might have walked out on us. He loved us when the guy or the girl that promised us the world maybe promised you to take you to Venice to get on a gondola on a stinky canal and have this weird guy sing a song that you had no idea, just left you there, dumped you. He was loving you there. He loved me when at 8 years old, after soccer practice, I waited and waited and waited, and no one was coming to pick me up. Because my parents were so engulfed in the problems that they had, they couldn't make up their minds on who would pick me up. You see, and in that moment, I felt abandoned. I felt that no one loved me and that maybe I was the reason for all of their problems. But he was loving me then, because he loves us when we don't love. When we didn't love, he was loving us. And the truth is that this season, this year, this Christmas, there will be no other time that you won't be loved. Because he's there. And the question is, will we accept his love? Will we accept a love that covers over all of that? A love that heals the pain, the suffering that we've gone through, that has allowed me to understand that at that moment when I felt abandoned, it wasn't about me. They had issues that they couldn't resolve, and God was loving me. He was there. He's helped me heal through that and go through that. See, it's a love that God gave us his only son. He gave us everything so that we could be loved and feel a love that no one can give us. And so it's a question of, will we accept this love? Will we accept this Christmas, this year, right now, a love that no one will ever be able to offer us? You see, in 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love each other because he loved us first." So when we walk into these situations, when we walk into this, our homes and this Christmas, we have all the love that we need. We'll have all the love that we need. And it will no longer depend on how they're loving us. It will no longer depend on what they can say to us. And when we sit at the table, when we sit in front of that person that has hurt us, that has left a void in our hearts, and has made us suffer more than anyone else, we'll be able to look at them in the eyes and see someone that we've been able to forgive. Someone that we love because we understand that all the love we need and everything that we need comes from God. So I encourage you this Christmas to just, it's a simple message, really, what I'm offering you today. Very, very simple. I mean, the word love is just four letters, and we say it all the time. But I encourage you to just pray and think about that and contemplate the idea that we actually have all the love we need. And that when you encounter those situations this year, you can understand that God loves you. And that you can experience the joy and all the love that we used to have when we were kids because we've found God. Will you pray with me? God, this morning, we want to thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. And it can just seem so simple, and we can just overlook it as if nothing ever happened. But God, this morning, we want to accept your love. We want to open our hearts to experience the love that you have for us, to allow the healing and the pain to go away. God, I ask that your love just tear down the walls that divide us, that your love may rebuild and unite us, God. Because this Christmas we have hope. We have hope in you. We have hope that you've come for us. You've forgiven us, and you've given us that hope, God. And that's why we want to just remember who you are and give you everything we have so that this Christmas we can experience that joy and that love that only you can offer us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
What John just shared with us is at the heart of what that song is talking about. And we get together, and week after week after week, we sing about loving people. Or we sing about loving God. But at the heart of loving God is this really crazy message that Jesus shares with us, that if you want to love me, the way that you love me is loving the person who's sitting across the table from you. It's this unique situation in which we find ourselves where Jesus Christ says, you can't actually love me. You really don't have anything to bring to me. You really don't have any way of giving anything to me. And so the way that you have to love me, the opportunity that you have to love me is to love that person sitting across the table from you. To love that person that doesn't deserve to be loved. To love that person who for years and years and years hasn't been loving you. And today inside your program, there's a little note card, and I'd ask you to, everybody, just kind of take that out because I want to walk you through something of just kind of putting into practice what John just shared with us, to putting into practice and how we can actually live this out throughout this holiday. And on that note card, the band's just kind of played through this whole time because it's kind of a conversation between me and you and also a conversation between you and God. And for most of us, as we look towards this holiday, or maybe for you, it's as you look back on a previous holiday, you can identify that person that you're not looking forward to seeing. You can identify that person that if you had your way, you'd just probably avoid them going into this year. Or maybe you've kind of cut them out of your life completely. And maybe for good reason. Sometimes there are relationships that we just need to step away from. They're just completely harmful. But just because you step away from it doesn't mean that you can just pack it away. You need to deal with it and you need to work through it. And so today what I'd ask you is just on that card, just write down that name or names of those people. Those people that you're like, man, I hate interacting with them. And they just suck the life out of Christmas. And you say, well, that's so wrong. No. There's something that happens when you walk into a relationship expecting love and you don't get it. And so I'd ask you just write down that person's name, and then what I want to do is the band's going to kind of play for a little bit, and I want you to begin to have a conversation with God about that situation. And to begin to work through this question of, is God's love enough for you as you go into this holiday season? Is the fact that God loved you when you had nothing to offer him, when you brought nothing to the table, when you actually hated him, when you walked away from him, is that fact, is that truth enough to give you what you need to be able to love the person that you just wrote down on that sheet? And are you willing, as this song talks about this exchange that took place with us and Jesus Christ, are you willing to enter into an exchange this holiday season? Where you walk into that person's life, you walk into this relationship, I don't know what the relationship is in your life, but you walk into this situation, and rather than expecting them to love you back, and that being what motivates you to love them, where you walk in there, and you exchange Jesus Christ's love for their love. And no matter how they respond to you, no matter what they say to you, you're able to keep loving. because you realize that they stand exactly where you stood before Jesus Christ. And he still chose to love you. He still chose to give to you. And to begin to see those opportunities to be like Christ. And to bring love into situations that have no hope. Love into relationships that would never have been loving. I'm going to start us in prayer, kind of like I did with silence, and then I'm just going to give you a chance to bow your head with those names on that sheet and to begin to have this conversation with God. To thank him for what he's done for you, and to ask him to be able to mobilize you and to motivate you to be able to do the same thing for those names on that sheet. Will you pray with me? Father, for so many of us, there are things going on in our families, and maybe even in our friendships that they're just draining. We want so badly to be able to walk back into our families at the holiday and be able to experience all this love and connection and sharing. But it seems like every single time we love this person, we get nothing back. As a matter of fact, it seems like every single time we love this person, it seems like they hate us back. And they're just constantly looking to hurt us. But God, that's exactly who we were to you. God, that's exactly how we were to you. We wanted nothing to do with you. We wanted to go exactly the opposite of you. We wanted only to serve ourselves. And yet, as John shared with us, you came and you gave your very life for us. And you've told us that this journey is about becoming like you. And as we look at these sheets, we see opportunities to become like you. And so, Father, we pray Father, as we move into this holiday season, may your love for us, may what you've done in our lives, the way that you've poured out yourself for us, may that become so real to us. May that become so tangible to us that we would move into these situations excited for the opportunity to be able to do for others what you've done for us. And though there may be hurt and pain and everything that goes into these situations, May we be able to move into these situations and realize that we have the opportunity to exchange your love for the love that we expect from them. And bring hope and love to situations that are hopeless and loveless. Father, your love is all that we need. In Jesus' name. For some of you, as you go throughout this holiday season, there are relationships that really you just need to avoid because, like I said, some relationships you just have to step out of. But you don't have to hold that stuff anymore. And you can exchange that love that you should have received from that person for the love that you have received from God. And for some of you, as you walk through this holiday season, that lack of love affects how you view yourself, how you view the holiday as a whole. And this Christmas, you have the opportunity to be able to celebrate the fact that although love was withheld here, love was not withheld from your Heavenly Father. For others of you, you're going to step into these relationships and into these situations. And my challenge to you as we go through the rest of this morning is to write down maybe two or three ways that you can express love to someone who for years hasn't been loving. You see, it doesn't do us any good to just get together and talk about these things if it doesn't change what we do tomorrow. And so my challenge to you is to just write down two or three things. Two or three ways that you can love this person as you move through this holiday. And to have a plan and say, okay, yeah, I realize that in the past this has been a disaster, but it doesn't have to be that way anymore. And you can begin to literally be like Christ. In the ultimate way. The band's going to walk through one more song. And as Ryan said, the communion tables are still open. But I challenge you to continue that conversation with God today. And say, okay, what is it that I can bring to this relationship? What is it that I can bring to this situation? How can I love like Christ loved? And see what God has to say to you today. Father, continue moving us to be like you. Continue teaching us to love like you love. In Jesus' name.